Blog Talk Radio.
Mubsbeats.com.
Many of us were told in private conversations that if we voted against this bill on Monday, then the sky would fall, the market would drop 2,000 or 3,000 points the first day, another couple thousand the second day, and a few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no.
We've got to stabilize the population. When I was born, there
was what's wrong with the population? I mean,
there were too many people. That's why we have global warming. We have global warming because too many people are using too much stuff.
But
if there were less people, they'd be using less stuff.
In 1913, the money power of the country was taken away from the people by constitutional privilege that belongs with the Congress, but it was given up in the Federal Reserve Act. The Federal Reserve is no more federal than Federal Express.
Good evening, all of my beautiful human beings on this Hallmark good old retail holiday called Valentine's Day, named after Cupid. It is February 14, 2019, and welcome to another edition of Against the Grain. Right above, kind of a broad, interesting title to the show, broad and interesting holiday, right? Or quote-unquote holiday. Boy, I tell you, it's always interesting. I am your host, Rush Perez of the Real World Order, admin of ANT, ANTRN, Against Normal Trends Radio, and CEO of the Real World Order. Thank you guys for joining us this evening. I want to do a special show this week. Usually our show is on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central USA time zone every single week, or at least every week that God willing give us. and we make sure we broadcast in. But, you know, I'm trying to do it a little more frequently as news is getting more frequent. Crazy things going on, so I'm trying to keep up with that and bring you guys the most factual information as possible. Real quick, I just want to do a couple of plugs. Please check us out at thefactualdragnet.blogspot.com. That is our free press, our actual blog, our no holds bar, no side at all, just factual information, grassrooted, independent publication. So please check us out there. Plenty of great articles. We have great contributors that definitely put a mark on the publication as well, such as Puck Arcs, Ashley Ann Justice, and many, many, many others. Definitely go check us out. If you like what you're hearing and support what we do, please donate and support us at patreon.com/RWOATGTFD. Again, that's patreon.com/RWOATGTFD. All right. And show your support there. Soon we'll be having members-only content and a lot of other things. you know, with the censorship and everything else, you know, if you want to play, you got to pay. So we're just really trying to do what we can here, and I'm really trying to do the most I can on my own without asking anybody for anything, but, you know, things are getting a little tight. So, you know, any support whatsoever, even if it's not money, just a support, liking a post, sharing it, sharing the show, re-listening to it, doing your own research, D-Y-O-R, is also greatly appreciated as always. Valentine's Day is one of those Hallmark holidays, as I put on the show description. As I've talked about several times, I'm not a very big fan of Hallmark holidays, Mother's Day, Father's Day. If you honor your mother and father, you should be doing that every single day. It's always nice to, you know, set a little day aside to do that, but it's always nice to do it on a more personal day, you know, more experience. You know, on just throwing the date out there, like March 3rd, you know, when I was 7, me and my mom and my dad had a great experience here, you know what I'm saying, and I would like to honor them every day on this day because of that. You know, it's a little more thoughtful. It's just like when people constantly say sorry. I always tell people, don't be sorry. You know, you're not a sorry person. Say I apologize. It's a little more thought-worthy, and it's a little more, you know, forefronting, you know, than just saying sorry. Sorry is a little more genetic. But anyway, I went off. A lot going on right now. We're right now facing a possible shutdown. We're facing a possible national emergency. And if you guys are following us on in our official group, which is on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/theofficialgroup of the Real World Order. If you've been following us or whatever, please go there, join. We have great conversations. The whole RWO ANT family is all there, and we just have great, insightful conversations and debates in a healthy environment. I'm really, really at panic with this, and, you know, if you guys have ever followed us before, if not, you're a new listener, welcome. But nevertheless, I've never been a fear monger. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not on that thing. As you see, we got our publication called the Factual Dragnet. You know, just the facts, man, just the facts. And then you come to your own intelligent conclusion by tying that with, you know, DYOR, doing your own research. But this brings a lot of alarm to me because a national emergency isn't just for the border wall or for funding of the border wall. There's a lot of other things that can be snuck in there, you know, just like they do when they pass bills in the Congress, which is really ironic that, you know, Trump is making it a point to be like, you know, no, I'm not going to pass anything until I can fine comb through everything that you guys are trying to propose, because he's already making it apparent and making it known that they are sneaking other things into the bill. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking about this for years. They do this. They will put out something for environmental, and because they couldn't get what they wanted to get through, couldn't get through on face value, then they sneak it into the environmental bill. So let's say a bill to save trees in Oregon, okay? It'll have a bunch of different, you know, subsections and sections and everything else, and it turn around out of nowhere, you know, funding for, you know, nuclear waste to be blah blah blah. I mean, fill in the blank. I'm just throwing something out there, but they'll sneak that in there, and then turn around. He's like, no, you know, we want to read it. And yet, no, we are getting 2 minutes to midnight. This is gonna go down tomorrow at midnight. Okay, so him, DHS, Department of Homeland Security, and everything else is supposed to be able to fine comb, go through all of this and everything else without any kind of blemishes whatsoever, and then turn around. Everything should be good by time midnight tomorrow. This will be very interesting. But nevertheless, I want to get into really quick, because I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time on the show on what Valentine's Day is. Honestly, it's just another holiday to me. If you care about somebody, you should be able to show it every single day. I honor people doing more things on their anniversary than they do, you know, Valentine's Day. You know, Valentine's Day is just very, very, very genetic to me. But as always, I want to give you guys a little history about the things that people seem to celebrate. And let me give you into a little bit of origins on what Valentine's Day actually is.
And what could be more innocent than celebrating Valentine's Day? A day of love and appreciation of your spouse, fiancé, or someone you secretly admire? Know you not that behind this seemingly love-filled holiday lies a dark and shameful origin? Valentine's Day has its origin in the ancient pagan Roman holiday known as Lupercalia. Lupercalia is said to have been one of the oldest Roman pagan festivals. It reaches back to the very founding of Rome itself in 753 BC. However, it may be related to the Greek honoring of the deity Pan. Lupercalia was on the 15th of February, or between the 13th and 15th, not unlike modern Valentine's Day, honoring the noisy goat-footed deity Pan of the Greeks, inventor of the panpipe. He leads the nymphs in dance. He also stirs up panic and is associated with sexuality. The word Lupercalia comes from the Latin root lupus, or wolf, as do many Latin words used for the word brothel. The priests of Lupercalia practice bloody rituals, including the sacrifice of a dog for purification and two male goats for fertility. The hides of the goats were cut into strips and dipped into the blood of the animal. In the streets of Rome, young girls were lined up and whipped with the hide in order to grant greater fertility. This ritual is preserved in the modern-day Easter morning whipping. Lupercalia was so named after the sacred cave of Lupercal. According to Roman legend, a she-wolf nursed the twins Romulus and Remus, who are attributed with the founding of the Roman Empire. The cave became a site of a yearly ritual involving merrymaking, sacrifice, and sexual fertility rituals, in which the young men and women placed their names in a jar. The young men drew the names to obtain a sexual partner for the rest of the festival, which is represented today by a Valentine's Day lottery. After Christianity was adopted as the official Roman religion, this holiday was superimposed upon the St. Valentine's Day celebration. Romulus and Remus were said to be twin offspring of the so-called god Mars, who raped a virgin priestess, Rhea Silvia. Silvia was eventually imprisoned and the twins ordered to be killed. However, a servant woman set them adrift on the Tiber River instead, where they banked in a shallow pool. Thereafter, a she-wolf who had lost her cubs suckled them until they were rescued and raised by foster parents. In those times, the Latin word for she-wolf was also slang for prostitute, referring to their mother, Rhea, meaning guilty, and Silvia, meaning forest, translating into guilty woman of the forest, the woman who seduces or has been seduced there. Romulus and Remus are attributed with the founding of Rome. Thus, when one celebrates Valentine's Day in modern times, they are actually honoring the founding of Rome. And the pagan, Roman, and Greek false deities, Mars and Pan. Alongside the economic exploitation of the divine principle, love. And now you know. So spread love every day of the year, and be not seduced and enticed. by the bloody pagan rituals represented in modern times as Valentine's Day. Thank you for watching.
Well, I guess I can't really thank you for watching, but, you know, more or less listening. But hey, I just wanted to give everybody a little background on the actual true meanings of Valentine's Day. Because if you don't know anything about the Hegelian dialect, I invite you to, again, DYOR, because a lot of that has to do with things that go on today. A lot of people say things and regurgitate things and don't even know the meaning of them. You know, regardless of what people may say or think, I do always encourage people to go and check out speeches by Bill Cooper or William Cooper. And I also invite you guys to go check out things by Jordan Maxwell. I'm not saying they are the all-all or the telltale or even the authority into the facts. It is just something else for you to DYOR and have a different perspective of some things that you may think you've understood and maybe get a better understanding. And that's all that I encourage here. We don't force anybody to think any kind of way. We just ask you to DYOR, do your own research, and come to your own conclusion, your own intelligent conclusion based off of the facts, nothing more and nothing less. Emotion out of it. Okay? Make yourself better and hopefully pass it on to the next person. So get into a little bit of news and information here, which is what we're all here for, right? End of the AmericanDream.com publication, rats, public defecation, and open drug use are major Western cities are becoming uninhabitable hellholes. An article that came out 2 days ago, February 12th, by Michael Schneider, S-N-Y-D-E-R. Before I get into this article, you know, I this nation was built off of immigrants. Well, this nation was built off the backs of the people that already lived here. You know, I wish I could go up to somebody's Mercedes and just walk up to it. And as they walk up to it and be like, hey, I discovered your car. It's mine. That's pretty much what America did to get and become America. And nevertheless, being in other territories doing the same thing. Venezuela. Anyway. But nevertheless, with this fluctuation of illegal immigration and just this whole pretty much open borders thing without it being actual coveted law, it always comes down to follow the money. So, you know, all of the rhetoric and narrative sounds really good, but at the end of the day, who's paying for this? Because it's not free. Well, here's an article about that. Almost everyone that goes out to visit one of our major cities on the West Coast has a similar reaction. Those that must live among the escalating decay are often numb to it. But most of those that are just in town for a visit are absolutely shocked by all of the trash, human defecation, crime, and public drug use that they encounter. Once upon a time, our beautiful Western cities were the envy of the rest of the world, but now they serve as shining examples of America's accelerating decline. The worst parts of our major Western cities literally look like post-apocalyptic wastelands. In the horrors of the zombie field, homeless people that live in those areas are too drugged out to care. The ironic thing is that these cities are not poor. In fact, San Francisco and Seattle are among the wealthiest cities in the entire nation, besides Washington, D.C. These things are falling apart this dramatically. Now, how bad will things get when economic conditions really start to deteriorate? Let's start our discussion by looking at the rat epidemic in Los Angeles. Thanks to extremely poor public sanitation, rats are breeding like mad. And at this point, they have conquered Los Angeles City Hall. Quote, officials at Los Angeles City Hall are considering ripping all of the building's carpets up as rats and fleas are said to be running riot in its halls. A motion was filed by
Council President Irv Wesson, W-E-S-S-O-N, on Wednesday to enact the such-needed makeover amid the tedious outbreak in the downtown area. Wesson said a city employee had contracted the deadly bacterial disease at work, and now he's urging officials to investigate the, quote, scope of the long-running pest problem at the city council building. People from all over the world are drawn to the Los Angeles, People from all over the world are drawn to Los Angeles because of what they have seen on television, but it is truly a filthy, filthy place. The number of homelessness, the number of homeless has been rising about 20% a year. Public drug use is seemingly everywhere, and there are mountains of trash all over the place. Needless to say, rats thrive in such an environment, and the epic battle that one L.A. journalist is having with rats was recently featured in L.A. Times. Quote, east side, west side, north and south, they're everywhere. If you're a rat, the California housing crisis has not hit you yet, and it never will. At our house, it sounded like the rats were having relay races in the ceiling, and they didn't wear sneakers. Your eyes blind and your legs switch as you drift off to sleep, knowing that if the plague comes back, you are living at ground zero. In our garden, they devoured entire heads of lettuce. They destroyed my squash just before it was ripe and ready to eat. They stole my tomatoes and cilantro and Anaheim chili peppers. Where they're bottling their salsa. I'm telling you, it's a crazy, crazy and insane article. I do want to play a clip really quick, just to let you guys hear something really quick, and we're going to get back to it. But this is what Trump said about abortion to State of the Union address.
To help support working parents, the time has come to pass school choice for Americans' children. I'm so proud to be the first president to include in my budget a plan for nationwide paid family leave so that every new parent has the chance to bond with their newborn child. There could be no greater contrast to the beautiful image of a mother holding her infant child than the chilling displays our nation saw in recent days. Lawmakers in New York cheered with delight upon the passage of legislation that would allow a baby to be ripped from the mother's womb moments from birth. These are living, feeling, beautiful babies who will never get the chance to share their love and their dreams with the world. And then we had the case of the governor of Virginia, where he stated he would execute a baby after birth. To defend the dignity of every person, I am asking Congress to pass legislation to prohibit the late term abortion of children who can feel pain in the mother's womb. Let us work together to build a culture that cherishes innocent life. let us reaffirm a fundamental truth. All children, born and unborn, are made in the holy image of God.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here. Thanks for checking out the ABC News YouTube channel.
Okay. Now, I know it was kind of subtle. Didn't really understand where I was coming from that. Let me explain. Because today, earlier, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House for the second time, decided to go on front, you know, stage or whatnot, and decided to have a press conference and talk about what President Donald Trump was going to be doing as far as this looming shutdown and the possible national emergency that's going to be declared. And as I said, or maybe I didn't say, but let me elaborate now. The national emergency, there are a lot more implications that meet the eye than just the wall. We're talking about Rex 84, all type of things that have been already established and continue through executive order and never been challenged or are still in effect that can become active as soon as the national emergency is declared, if President so does choose, or I should say more of the people that pull his strings say so, and it works into the narrative. Okay? It's not fear-mongering. This is actually documented fact. Why? Because here at ATG, we are what? 2 minutes to midnight, fearlessly, factual, right above the bullshit. Ah. Makes the title of the show make a little more sense, right? You know, it gets there at some point. Here's another article from AJC. Texas children found in dog cage smeared with excrement placed in foster care. This is out of Dallas. Four malnourished siblings, all aged 5 or younger, have been placed in foster care after authorities found them hungry and thirsty in a North Texas barn, 2 locked in a dog cage and the other smeared with excrement, authorities said Wednesday. Law enforcement found the children Tuesday morning while responding to a domestic disturbance call at a property near Rome, R-H-O-M-E, that's the name of the town, about 20 miles or 32 kilometers north of Fort Worth. The 3 boys and girls were released from a hospital Tuesday evening and placed into foster care, a Texas Department of Family and Protective Services said. The agency did not say if the children have been placed together or split apart. Wise County Sheriff Lane Akin, A-K-I-N, said deputies found the oldest 2 kids locked in a 3-by-3-foot, 90-by-90-centimeter cage, and the other 2 were filthy and only partially clothed. Akin called it the worst case of child abuse he has seen in his 44-year career. Paige Isabow Harkins, H-A-R-K-I-N-G-S, and Andrew Joseph Fabilia, S-A-B-I-L-A, who are both 24, were each charged with 4 counts of criminal child endangerment and were being held in the Wise County Jail. His bond was set for $60,000 Wednesday afternoon, while hers was set at $75,000. Harkins was also charged with aggravated assault, and Fabilia was taken to an area hospital to have, quote, numerous lacerations on his face, quote, treated before being jailed, and the sheriff's office said in a statement. She is the mother to all 4 children, while he is the father of 1, according to authorities. And I encourage you guys to go ahead and check out the rest of this article. But my prayers go out to those children And I really hope they find justice. It sounds generic, and I'm really not trying to be that way. But when it comes to very tragic things like that, honestly, from the outside looking in, without sounding generic, there's not really too much you can say, to be honest with you. Let's go and compare a little bit of a story here, shall we? Something that's been going on and honestly has been, I'd say, swept underneath the news, even though this is a very alarming thing. I don't really understand why people are not paying more attention to this very, very important factor. And not only that, but comparing it to the other things that are a part of it and tie into it, but are stagnated. Ponder that for a second. I'll give you time. Okay, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Right now, our national debt is climbing up to a historical amount. We have already passed it at $22 trillion. And I'm honestly not even sure if that includes the, I think, about $8 to $10 trillion that supposedly came lost or were spent on fuddy-duddy bullshit. So we'll roughly say we're $35 trillion in the hole. But then I heard a narrative that got repeated also during the Obama administration, during a shutdown, and during the beginning of his candidacy as well. This is an article from CNS News. $1,665,484,000,000 feds collect record individual income taxes in calendar 2018 as debt climbed $1,481,349,159,596.80. The federal government collected a record number. I already said that. I'm not going through all that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, that's a lot of numbers. I don't want to do it. Individual income taxes in calendar year 2018, according to the monthly Treasury statements for the year, which the Treasury finished publishing today with the belated release of the December statement. And by the way, this article came out yesterday, just to let you know. Calendar year 2018 was the first full tax year after President Donald Trump signed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act on December 22nd of 2017. Now, again, I encourage you guys to go ahead and check out the rest of that article. But if you tie that into every time we're getting record amount of taxes that are being taken and more money taken from the people, and I already hear the argument about, well, you get more in your paycheck. I want somebody to do the math and bring the facts to us so we can see that it made that much of an impact, if any impact at all. I'm not saying, and I'm not a denier or anything like that. I'm just saying I haven't done that type of research on it. I actually don't care to do that type of research on it because I'm pretty sure I already know the answer. But if anybody would like to prove us wrong on that, please. Our email is always open for questions, comments, concerns, donations, sponsorship, criticism, anything. And that email is rwoatgtipz@protonmail.com. Again, that's rwoatgtipz at proton, protonmail.com. Go ahead and hit us up on that. All right. Here's an article from PJ Media. Dallas, Washington, D.C., top list of American cities plagued the most by mosquitoes. This came out February 12th, 2 days ago. read a couple paragraphs out of here, and I encourage you guys to go ahead and DYOR and check out PJ Media and check out this article. I'm old enough to remember mosquitoes, mosquito trucks winding their way through my neighborhood, leaving behind thick plumes of poisonous smoke. That smoke, which I and the other neighborhood kids darted in and out of as we played, was intended to kill the mosquitoes. Frankly, I don't remember if it did its job or not. That being said, the 25 cities on Termax's list of, quote, cities buzzing with the most mosquitoes may want to consider sending out a mosquito truck or two. Mosquitoes are masters of breeding, ensuring that Termax's mosquito services will always be needed. The scary thing is that, according to the World Health Organization, or the WHO, quote, mosquitoes are one of the deadliest animals in the world. Their ability to carry and spread disease to humans causes millions of deaths every year. Now, actually, I'm going to read this next paragraph, and then you guys can check it out from there. That's a frightening statement, especially of those who live in one of the 25 worst cities for mosquitoes. And I happen to live in the city ranked number 3, Washington, D.C., which is called a swamp for a reason. Well, to be clear, I live across from, I'm actually going to read the list of the top 25 really quick so you guys can get that. I can get it. All right, so here's the top 25. So number 1, we got Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. We got number 2, New York. And we got number 3, Washington, D.C. Number 4, Houston, Texas. Number 5, Los Angeles, California. Number 6, Atlanta, Georgia. Number 7, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Number 8, Memphis, Tennessee. Number 9, Chicago, Illinois. Number 10, Baltimore, Maryland. Number 11, Miami, Florida. Number 12, San Antonio, Texas. Number 13, Orlando, Florida. Number 14, Nashville, Tennessee. Number 15, Tampa, Florida. Number 16, San Francisco, California. Number 17, Boston, Massachusetts. 18, Little Rock, Arizona. Imagine all the mosquitoes that come from there, from the Clintons. Derp. Anyway, 19, Mobile, Alabama, Mobile, Alabama. My fault, people in Alabama, don't be mad at me. Mobile, Alabama. Number 20, Austin, Texas. Number 21, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Number 22, Detroit, Michigan. Number 23, Jacksonville, Florida. Number 24, Indianapolis, Indiana. And number 25, Phoenix, Arizona. And you guys can go ahead and check out the rest of those on your own time, DYOR, as always. But another breaking news article that came out, especially dealing with the market, about 15 hours ago or so. This is from CNBC. S&P 500 snaps four-day winning streak after worst retail sales drop in about a decade. And I, once again, this is an article that you guys can go ahead and DYOR and look up. But the market dropped pretty significantly today, and they say it has something to do with the China talks and trade talks and everything else, which I don't highly doubt, because a lot of it has to do with trade. And the one thing that has people puzzled as to kind of why, like, I don't understand why, is because people are not researching the RCEP. People are not doing their homework on the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, the SCO, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. People are not doing their homework on these ASEANic countries that are banding together and making these treaties and doing these things and almost mimicking, if not mimicking, the things that the West has had and established for a long time that back in the day used to be number one. Or was it just a facade? You know, you never know. But at the end of the day, America is being constantly challenged by the international community to be degraded
egotistically and factually and documentally, you know what I'm saying, to switch that role of superpower. And that's really something people, we got to understand. Now, I got a couple of songs tonight for our Valentine's Day celebration. One of our shows. It's not going to be a super show, long show tonight. I just wanted to drop some jewels on you guys. But I do want to bring out some more independent artists. Once again, we have another song by the legendary KCO out of Westside, Eastside, Chicago, representing the Middletown to the fullest. This is featuring Blade. I got haters. I love this song because, boy, I tell you, some people, well, you know, I'm not even going to get into that. Yeah. Not worth it. Yeah. Just got here.
If you don't fuck with KCO, well then, you're just a bitch ass trick. 1,000 grams uncut to the gut.
When I walk up in the club,
get slaughter, poor, get poet, the richer you know it, a hustler gon' blow it, show it, fuck owe it, a hater gon' talk it, boy shit, get the walking, living my life, doing it right, fucking these bitches every night, money on money on money on money, run a bar up, cause I don't give a fuck, I can pay it up, but who send it up, pussy you ain't never tough, you just friends with the man, keep choking on this shit, we gon' get it fast in, you don't wanna see me going off the lane in them Zams, riding in the van. Wendell's titty, gun in my hand like, hey, goddamn. Shots at your head, shots at your man, shots at your friends, get ghosts in the wind.
When I walk up in the club,
motherfuckers seen the struggle, CEO used to be the worker and the muscle, but when I learned how to make that fish scale bubble, other dealers would have packed, knew that ass was in trouble, is it my fault, sharing qualities like ghosts, businessman raising that blower like toast, sometimes I be petty, but I never do the most, re-up, shop vacation, I say going coast to coast, yeah, black and ugly as ever, however, mixed designer looking good together, dick game have forgiven me money like bank tellers, a lot of niggas doing good, but Chef Blade doing better, I'm a flipping apple for some new haters, motivated, dedicated for some new paper. I'm knowing more, doing more, and I know they hate it. She buzz, I got a buzz, I'm more I play.
When I walk up in the club,
that right there, ladies and gentlemen, again, was a legendary, legendary KCO featuring Blade. I got hate. Love it, man. Putting on from Milwaukee, Milltown. I can't wait till people start getting together and really uniting. And there's a lot of talent in this city, in this state. And those gentlemen do a great job. And I'm just glad that I can link up with them and be able to use my platform to
you know, showcase their music. Moving on here, we got an article from Yahoo Finance. These are the wealthiest towns in the USA by Shelley Hogan and Wei Liu, W-E-I, last name Liu, L-U. This came out yesterday. The Silicon Valley town that billionaires Eric Schmidt of Google and Facebook's Sheryl Sandberg have called home is America's richest community for the third year in a row. Atherton, California, whose household income averaged $450,696 in 2017, topped the Bloomberg Richest Places Annual Index. Atherton Mayor Bill Widmer, W-I-D-M-E-R, said the three-lined streets and lot sizes of at least an acre offer residency privacy with Stanford University, Google, and Facebook all a short drive away. Quote, we value a semi-rural environment, end quote, said Widmer, who moved to Atherton in 1996. Quote, there are few sidewalks and many places don't have streetlights, end quote. Scarsdale, New York, north of Manhattan, moved up to the number two spot on this year's list as its residency enjoyed a $30,000 increase on average in annual household income from the prior year. Now, I encourage you guys to keep going through this, but if you see what we've did in the prior years of where we connect the richest cities with the most poverty-stricken issues like homelessness, hunger, and things like that, or resources for people who are low income and more, you know what I'm saying? You start to build a picture of exactly the corruption that we're talking about or another spin on the wheel of fuckery, however you want to put it. Let's look into a couple more articles here. I'm not a big fan of Vice whatsoever. I'm really, really not. I don't like Vice. I'm putting that out there right now. I don't like Vice. But people have given me a couple of questions about articles or finding out some research about the e-cigarette thing. And I found an article. It is a flashback, but it comes from July 28th of 2016, and it was an article written by Larry Fritz Morris, F-I-T-Z-M-A-U-R-I-C-E. And the headline reads, turns out e-cigarettes are more cancery than we thought. A new study suggests your vape is unhealthy, bro. You know, they always try to be hipster and everything else. I honestly, purposely, did not do any kind of research or any kind of background on that article. I want to use you guys, not use you guys, but I want you guys to do some research and holler back at me. You know, go to our mini platforms, MeWe, Twitter. Our Twitter is www.twitter.com/TheRealWorldOrg, O-R-D. You know, on any of the MeWe accounts, just look up the Factual Dragnet, The Real World Order, Rush 99, anything like that. You'll find us. And also on facebook.com/groups/ the official group of The Real World Order, or hit us up on our, you know, encrypted email, rwoatgtipz@protonmail.com. Either way, there are very many ways that you guys can give your opinion to us, and we really, really appreciate it and always do. By the way, okay, never mind. I'm not going to even get into that. Let's get into another thing about the market. I shouldn't say the market, but your finances. This is a little story that just seemed to drop out of, you know, the headlines. And I find an article on it, and it's on CNBC. And the title goes, it's in their cybersecurity tab. The Great Equifax Mystery. 17 months later, the stolen data has never been found, and experts are starting to suspect a spy scheme. Here's some highlights from the article. Equifax data breach on, or a little background, I should say.
Equifax data breach on September 7, 2017 stunned markets and American consumers, but of those 143 million people disappeared to, it has remained a mystery. CNBC talked to experts, intelligence officials, dark web quote hunters, and Equifax to discover where they expect the data has gone and what it is being used for. The prevailing theory today is that the data was stolen by a nation state or spying purpose, not by criminals looking to cash in on stolen identities. On September 7, 2017, the world heard an alarming announcement from credit ratings giant Equifax in a brazen cyber attack. Somebody has stolen sensitive personal information from more than 140 million people, nearly half the population of the USA. It was the consumer data security scandal of the decade. The information included social security numbers, driver's license numbers, information from credit disputes, and other personal details. CEO Richard Smith stepped down under fire. Lawmakers changed credit freeze laws and instilled new regulatory oversight of credit ratings agencies. Then something unusual happened. The data disappeared completely. CNBC talked to 8 experts, including data quote hunters, who scour the dark web for stolen information. Senior cybersecurity managers, top executives at financial institutes, senior intelligence officials who played a part in the investigation, and consultants who helped support it. All of them agreed that a breach happened and personal information from 143 million people were stolen, but none of them know where the data is now. It's never appeared on any hundreds of underground websites selling stolen information. Security experts haven't seen the data used in any of the ways they'd expect in the theft like this. Not for impersonating victims, not for accessing other websites, nothing. Again, I encourage you guys, as I do every article, the DYR, do your own research on this one. Probably about 7 or 8 more articles that are going to have us going away from the USA and the crazy rhetoric that always goes on here and go a little bit overseas. Now I'm going to let you guys enjoy the rest of your Valentine's Day Hallmark holiday. One more article, though, before we go to our break song, and I'm going to bring another great Milwaukee Milltown artist on and play his music. This article comes from Politico. All right. This came out yesterday by Mark Caputo, C-A-P-U-T-O. Michael Bloomberg's $500 million anti-Trump moonshine. Now, let me tell you why we are going to end with this, because we got to put somebody into the tool shed, don't we? We've got to do that, or at least try to every show, because Lord knows there's a lot of people that deserve that. And some people, they are overachievers, and they get the All-Star Award. Pope Francis. You know, and it's funny, too. Speaking of Pope Francis, I just want to give you guys a little funny thing. So a little while ago, I tweeted to the Pontiff-in-Chief, and he put out a tweet about something about Sunday being the Sabbath, and I corrected him, and I was, if you know a little bit about me, if you don't, let me introduce a little something to you. Sabbath is Saturday, not Sunday, okay? It was changed to Sunday due to the Catholic Church saying that is Sunday, but if you want to go according to scripture and scrolls and whatnot in ancient Hebrew worship or whatnot, as far as validity in religion, which I still think religion is a tool, so does everybody who believes in it. I'm spiritual, but I do practice the Sabbath, and I try to keep it holy. Sabbath is Saturday. Long story short, the Pontiff liked the tweet
I got a snapshot of that. You guys can hit me up anytime, and I'll definitely give it to you. It's hilarious. But anyway, Bloomberg, I got to throw you in the tool shed there, sir. And the reason why I'm doing that is because do we not recall the 2016 campaign circus call, a.k.a. an election, of how all of these candidates spent all of this money and all these PACs that was behind them, Soros money, everything else, and we still ended up getting the orange Cheeto, the president, who spent very little money to campaign. Literally did a Art of War Sun Tzu move, hit the opponent at the weakest areas and not just rush in. That's why you constantly hear pundits talk about you should have went to Wisconsin and other, you know, heartland areas in the United States. But Michael Bloomberg feels like he's going to be the guy to use his $500 million anti-Trump moonshot to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, I really hope that if you don't take anything else out of these broadcasts, that you remember that this is the same brain, same bird, two different wings, same shit, different tree. Billionaire philanthropist Michael Bloomberg is preparing to spend at least $500 million from his own pocket to deny President Donald Trump a second term, according to Democratic operatives briefed on his plans. Bloomberg has not yet announced whether he will run in the Democratic primary. If he runs, he will use that $500 million stake, roughly $175 million more than the Trump campaign spent over the course of the entire 2016 election cycle. That's the 2016 campaign circus I was speaking of earlier. To fuel his campaign through the 2020 primary season, with the expectation that the sum represents a floor, not a ceiling, on his potential spending. If Bloomberg declines to seek the presidency, his intention is to run an unprecedented data-heavy campaign designed to operate as a shadow political party for the eventual Democratic nominee. Yikes. No, everybody and their mama throwing their hat in the ring. Everybody. We had a congresswoman sit there and give her presidential nomination speech in the snow. And I do have to give it to her. I commend her for that. That's pretty strong. But at the same time, it's kind of funny because you brought up climate change. As it's snowing on you. Hashtag age of hypocrisy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to another song here really quick before we go overseas. Another great artist, Donovan Sherrod, D-O-N-O-V-A-N-S-H-E-R-R-O-D. Look Into My Eyes is the title of the song that I am going to be playing, but please check him out on SoundCloud, Reverb Nation, YouTube, Instagram. Go ahead and check him out. This man is solid. I love his flow and what he do. He really a solid dude, and hopefully me and him might, who knows, even collab on my upcoming album coming out in August. So, nevertheless, here is Donovan Sherrod. Look Into My Eyes.
Look me in my eyes, the pain don't stop, nigga. See, I done been up on the block, nigga. Sold a couple grams of weed, a couple rocks, nigga. Had some holy shoes and I done wore some dirty socks, nigga. I got a fan base now, a little flock, nigga. They positive, they motivate me to the top, nigga. You can think I'm garbage, my nigga, they think I'm hot. So check the mixtape out, cause summer 18 about to drop, nigga. Grew up a screw up, daddy, he threw them twos up. My mama, she went to prison for that armed bank robbery. Put me and my brother in the hood, see, we was starving. Be my auntie adopted us, but it still took out a part of me. Hey, for a while, I was soft,
hey, I was soft.
Heartbroken over moms and pops, shit, I was lost,
shit,
nigga.
I was lost.
We're growing up in the streets of COE and Milwaukee,
into
turn
a motherfucking
to a
boss, nigga.
Lamar Little, you my man, bro. Cause anytime somebody try me, you was quick to throw them hands, bro. I fuck with two niggas nowadays, only Corey and Tone. Cause if I'm in the dog fight, the niggas grabbing the bone. Fuck with gangster niggas, shooters who will pop at your dome. Had your melon leaking water, better leave me alone. They check this, I'm focused on this cash shit. And I've been through too much shit, you try to stop me.
And that's your ass, bitch. That's your ass, bitch.
Look me in my eyes, the pain don't stop,
it don't stop, nigga.
See, I done been up on the
block, nigga.
Sold a couple grams of weed, a couple rocks,
a couple
nigga.
Rocks,
some holding shoes, and I done wore some dirty socks, nigga.
Socks.
I got a fan base now, a little flock,
a little
nigga.
Flock.
Positive, they motivate me,
they
so it's hot,
to the top, nigga.
Garbage, my nigga, they think I'm hot, so check the mixtape out. Summer 18 about to drop, nigga. Elkhart, Indiana, racist.
Right.
Every time I turned around, I was locked the fuck up.
Locked
I went to JDC, then went to DOC, then went to Elkhart County, just straight to that HOC. That's
bro.
Sitting in the day room watching TV, then I seen Lil Rio name, cause he got shot and they ain't know if he gon' live, bro. It made me turn my savage up, had a nigga acting up. He was one of my first cousins, so I was mad as fuck. Really got the trapping, bruh. Really grabbed the ratchet, bruh. Swear if I ever see you, little nigga, I'm matching, bruh. I was fucked up, I had the blues, nigga. Then I sucked it up and grabbed the tool, nigga. Over family, I'ma act a fucking fool, nigga.
I'm
coming for mine and I can't lose, nigga. Hey, look me in my eyes, the pain don't stop,
nigga. Don't stop, nigga.
See, I done been up on the block, nigga.
Sold
a couple grams of weed, a couple rocks, nigga. Had some holding shoes and I done wore some dirty socks, nigga.
Yeah.
I got a fan base now, a little flock,
a little
nigga.
Flock.
They're positive, they motivate me,
push
me
top,
all the way to the
top.
You can think I'm garbage, my nigga. They think I'm hot, so check the mixtape out. Summer 18 about to drop, nigga. Pain is the word to describe what I've been through. I use it though, so I can elevate my mental. I'm ready 2K18, cause my year sucks. 2K17 took everything that a nigga loved. I lost my wife and my child and the man I was. But I stay strong because they watching me from up above. So I stay focused on my grind. You can see it in my eyes. I'm pushing to a shine. I just hit the next
level.
Broke the rules, nigga. Old and new me came together and we fused, nigga. I just broke my own barrier. Sonic Boom, nigga. Y'all gon' know the name real soon, nigga. Because I'm on my way up out the
hood.
Cause your boy blessed, top 10 on the chart. Yeah, your boy next, about to stack a couple bags and get 100 checks and do it by my motherfucking self. I ain't worried about no motherfucking
street.
No motherfucking
drama.
No motherfucking beat. Just a motherfucking comma. If it ain't about my hustle, my
family,
or my mama, then I swear it ain't my motherfucking problem. Chase your dream, little nigga. That's where my mind on. Drive till you become a star. Then get your shine on. Don't worry about the clock or everything that they time wrong. I'm 26 and sitting in my prime zone. Look me in my eyes, nigga.
Look me in my eyes.
I mean, sometimes I wanna cry, nigga.
Sometimes I wanna cry, nigga.
At least now y'all know why, nigga.
I know why, nigga.
It's DJ Baby.
What the heavens in my love,
fuck.
Nigga.
DJ. Donovan Shirai. Again, the spelling is D-O-N-O-V-A-N. Last name, Shirai, S-H-E-R-R-O-D. Shout outs to the whole team. No Sleep, Billboard Birmingham, Brad Facts, Legendary KCO, Tomboy, all the rest of the great artists that come out that camp. I appreciate y'all. Much love. And hopefully I'm doing justice by having you on the platform. It is going to be the short second half. It is February 14th, 2019. Valentine's Day, Hallmark holiday, and this show is Against the Grain. Right above. Right above. Getting to the little bit of international news before we get out of here. Some other facts before we go. Over there in Germany, France, London, Italy, and other areas, the Brexit thing is really getting to the overall population. You always know it's going to be important, especially when it starts to hit up whatever they measure as the middle class or hierarchy, and they start going through those growing pains, and all of a sudden, shit gets real. Here's an article out of The Sun.
Valentine's May Massacre. Theresa May humiliated as she loses another Brexit vote after Tory MPs pull their support. I'm going to read a couple out of here. Came out February 14th. Today. The PM strategy was left in tatters on Valentine's Day after more than 50 Brexiters refused to back a motion of support for her, leaving it to be defended by 303 votes to 258. Furious Brexiters said the motion would effectively rule out Britain, leaving without a deal and destroy our negotiating hand. But she vowed to push on ahead with her Brexit plans anyway, insisting that fighting to rip up the hatred Northern Irish backstop was the only thing Parliament had said they wanted her to do so far. Downing Street spokesman blamed Jeremy Corbyn for, quote, putting partisan considerations ahead of the national interest, end quote, voting to make no deal more likely, end quote. They also noted that, quote, concerns Brexiters who voted the motion down because they thought it would effectively take away the threat of leaving without a deal. Number 10 added, quote, the motion on January 29th remains the only one the House of Commons has passed expressing what it does want, and that is legal binding change to address concerns about the backstop. Quote, the government will continue to pursue this with the EU to ensure we leave on time on March 29th, end quote. A total of 59 Brexit hardliners either abstained or voted against the motion after meeting with the Europe Research Group headed by Jacob Rees-Mogg, and that Rees-Mogg. And another 10 Tory MPs who backed the second referendum refused to back the government. The defeat represented the eighth time Mrs. May has lost a Commons vote on Brexit and a fresh humiliation as she battles to save her deal. Critics blast the PM for not even turning up to see the results of the showdown.
Go ahead and check out what it is. Another story that's been killed into the news, but we constantly talk about because it's very important, seeing how the war on Africa, if you want to talk about war, there's a war there. This war has been going on for quite a long time. Resources on all levels. Here's an article from Relief Web. DR Congo, post-election killings test new president. This came out today. We'll read two paragraphs out of it. The Democratic Republic of Congo's new administration should demonstrate its human rights commitment by impartially investigating and prosecuting the killing of at least 10 people by security forces during post-election demonstrations on January 10, 2019. Many of those killed and injured were protesting Felix Tshisekedi, T-S-H-I-S-E-K-E-D-I, disputed election victory in presidential elections held on December 30th, 2018. On January 10th, Congo's state-controlled electoral commission, the Commission's Electoral National Independent, or also known as the Independent National Electoral Commission, or the CENI, provisionally declared the opposition candidate Tshisekedi the president. This conflicted with leaked data from the commission and the Catholic Church observation mission that showed that other opposition candidate Martin Fayulu won about 60% of the vote. Fayulu's support from a broad array of political parties began protests in many cities across Congo, While some demonstrators engage in violence, the security forces often respond with excessive force, including unnecessary lethal force. Quote, although the killings occurred before he took office, President response to the post-election violence is an important first test for his administration, end quote, said Ida Sawyer, S-A-W-Y-E, Deputy African Director at Human Rights Watch. Quote, after years of brutal government repression under Joseph Kabila, K-A-B-I-L-A, Keshidi, whatever his name is, should demonstrate that victims of abuses and their families can obtain justice. That includes you guys. Go ahead and check out the rest of that. Let's go ahead and go to another country that just always seems to be in the news now just about as much as Russia is. This is an article from Reuters. Iran's Rouhani blames U.S. Israel for attacks on elite guards. TV. Iran President Hossein Rouhani blamed the United States and its regional allies on Thursday for a suicidal bombing in southeastern Iran that killed 27 members of the country's elite Revolutionary Guard, Iranian state TV reported. The force said on Wednesday a suicide bomber driving a vehicle laden with explosives had attacked a bus transporting members of the guards in the province of Sistan. I'm not even going to try this last one, so I'm just going to spell it out. Sistan, S-I-S-T-A-N hyphen B-A-L-U-C-H-E-S-T-A-N. A militant Sunni Muslim group, Jishui al-Adal, let me spell it, J-A-I-S-H space A-L space A-B-L, which is the Army of Justice, which says it seeks greater rights and better living conditions for the ethnic minorities Balishis, U-C-H-I-S, has claimed responsibility for the attack, Iranian media have reported. Quote, the crime will remain as a dirty stain in the black record of main supporters of terrorism in the White House, Tel Aviv and their regional agents, quote, end quote, Rouhani said. So again, I encourage you guys, go ahead and check out that article. Let's go ahead and check out Yemen. This is from the National Lioness. Okay, .com. This came out today. Will Yemen be Trump's first veto? On Wednesday, the House of Representatives issued a stinging rebuke of the White House of the White House's holding pattern in support of the Saudi coalition in Yemen. The vote was the culmination of multiple years of efforts by realists on Capitol Hill and their allies. House Joint Resolution 37 demands the removal of U.S. armed forces from hostilities in or affecting Yemen within a month unless Congress authorizes a later date or issues a declaration of war or specifically authorizes military force. The vote was not closed, 248 to 177. Quote, the vote today is a step toward more sensible U.S. policy in Yemen and the Middle East, a welcome admonishment of Saudi Arabia and an overdue assertion of nearly dormant world war powers in each of those senses, though more is needed, end quote, says Benjamin H. Friedman of Defense Priorities. So Friedman is F-R-I-E-D-M-A-N, Benjamin H. Friedman, a bipartisan cohort of rebels has been eager to use the first branch of government to force the White House's hand for much of the administration and even before Donald Trump's ascension to presidency. I encourage you guys to go ahead and check
that's out. Let's go ahead and go to some numbers. We'll go right to the U.S. debt collection. $22,018,548,400 Let's look into some population stats. One I really want to get into is living in poverty. Living in poverty. 38,052,429. Without insurance, 27,563,108. You always can check out these stats and more at usdebtcloth.org. A lot of good information there. Let's look at the abortion counter, shall we? Always the elephant in the room. Let's talk about it. Well, since about 7:16 USA time, Central, abortions that we've had today, 2,054 count. How many this year? 113,102.4. U.S. this year, after 16 weeks gestation, G-E-S-T-A-T-I-O-N, gestation, I think that's what it is, my bad if I'm pronouncing it wrong, 5,428. This year, due to rape or incest, 1,097 abortions. By Planned Parenthood this year, 41,728.3 count. Worldwide this year, 4,903,504 count. Worldwide today, 88,090 in count. Let's look into the Dow Jones. The Dow is down 103.88 points. NASDAQ is up 6.58. S&P is down 7.30. World markets, we got Japan falling down at minus 0.9. Hong Kong minus 0.23. London up 0.09. Germany down 0.69. Top three gainers, Marathon Oil Corp, they're up 8.75. Equinix Incorporated is up 7.32. And Quiva, I-Q-V-I-A Holdings Inc., is up 7.06. Top three losers, we got CenturyLink Inc., down 13.06. American International Group Inc., is down 9.03. And International Flavors and Fragrances, in there for the number three, down 8.65. Commodities, we got oil at $54.85 a barrel, which is up 0.81%. Gas is at $2.58, which is up 0.12%. Gold is at $1,315.50. That's up 0.12%. Silver is at $15.58, which is up 0.33%. And corn, $374.75, which is down 1.12%. Fear and greed index, we're at a steady 64, which that's the greed and emotion driving the market. And we got Bitcoin at $3,563.17, which is a 0.01 increase. Pretty interesting day. But nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you guys for joining us on this very special show on Valentine's Day.
I hope that you guys enjoy your day, gay guys and gals. I hope you guys be safe out there no matter where you are. And never forget, Valentine's Day should be every day. My moment of clarity is very, very simple. Be balanced and find contentment. Love each other and always DYOR, do your own research. So without further ado, I'm going to let you guys go. Thank you guys for joining us. And we will see you Tuesday. I might be changing the time, but we're going to say right now 7 p.m. as always, Central USA time, Tuesday, same bad time, same bad channel. Go ahead and check out the post. We always put up the links at least a good 4 to 5 hours ahead of time. Also, look for the Factual Dragnet with our Monday publication of the weekly receipt, just a bunch of numbers. No noise, no white noise whatsoever, opinions or op-eds or none of that BS. And also, please support our partners like We Do Better, Corey Rowe. He does excellent, excellent work on so many different levels and all the many different people that we know. Lon Bixby, shout out to Lone Wolf and his canines, and my baby Mesha, and everything else. So, yeah, that's my moment of clarity. And I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your evening. And again, thank you guys for joining us. And never, ever, ever forget, skies, the limit, and the world, ladies and gentlemen, is indeed at your fingertips. Fingertips. Like that. All right, I'm doing it again. I don't care. Live radio or not, I don't give a shit. Y'all know I'm goofy. Anyway. Make sure you guys enjoy your day. Hopefully that made you laugh, made you smile or something, because you know I'm goofy. But sky's the limit, and the world is indeed at your fingertips. Thank you, guys. Have a great night.